Well, let's turn in Jesus' name to God's word in the book of Job, to chapter 33, where we read. The last three Sunday evenings I've been looking at the theme of sleep in the Bible. And there's a lot said about sleep in the Bible, and sleep's a very relevant topic for everyone. We all do a fair bit of it. Some of us perhaps wish we could do more if we're not good at sleeping. And some of us wish we'd sleep better perhaps, but nevertheless, it's part of our experience for all of us. And as I said, the Bible teaches a great deal about it. So we've seen that sleep is a good gift. It's a good gift from God, which can be disrupted by worry. So we thought about that and how to try and deal with that worry in the middle of the night. We also thought about how sleep's used as a metaphor for spiritual decline and slumber, and also for death in the Bible. But finally tonight I want to think about dreams. And if we turn to Job chapter 33, confident and wise young man, Elihu, has this to say in verse 14 of Job 33. He says, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds. He may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings, to turn man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword." God may speak in a dream, says Elihu, when deep sleep falls on men. Now we saw at the beginning of thinking about this topic that sleep is absolutely vital to our lives. And modern research shows it to be incredibly important to every aspect of our physical and mental and emotional health, and we would add spiritual health as well. But what we call sleep isn't just one state. When you go to sleep, you cycle, if you have a good night's sleep, through usually five revolutions of sleep that take you from when you're dropping off straight into what's called rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep, when you're dreaming. And then you go down into a deeper sleep where everything is still again, non-rapid eye movement sleep, and you have a good period of that, and then you come back up through rapid eye movement sleep. You wake up, maybe you don't actually consciously do anything, but then you go back into REM sleep for a second cycle, non-REM sleep, and then back up through REM sleep, and you're dreaming in REM sleep, and you wake up again. And you do this, if you sleep normally for 8 hours or so, about five times in the night. And as the night goes on, the amount of REM sleep you have in these cycles increases. And in all that REM sleep, you're dreaming. You may not remember any of your dreams. You may remember some of them. I suppose it depends often on how awake you get to be at any point when you're in the middle of REM sleep. Perhaps you're aware when you're falling asleep of starting to dream. That usually happens to me pretty much every night. I get that just for a minute. I've just started dreaming. I'm about to go to sleep, and then off I go. Perhaps you remember dreams. I had a very vivid dream last night about sitting higher maths for some reason, and I couldn't do it, which was frustrating. I don't know what you might find as a deep meaning in that. Some of you may say that you remember lots of your dreams. Some of you may say, "I don't dream," but you do. You just don't remember them. Many things can disrupt that. Many things can change your experience of dreaming. Obviously, certain medications things that are weighing in your mind, anxieties, you know, illnesses and all sorts can affect it. But we do all dream. Dreams can seem random. Sometimes where dreams may in some way relate to the day that's just gone past, or to the next day if we're worried about something or thinking about something, or they may relate to some fear that we have. Dreams tend to reflect our values as an individual as well. They may just seem like brief glimpses of unconnected events, or if you're fortunate, you may go through long narratives of enchanting adventures in your dreams. I sometimes do that, and it's great fun. I wish I wouldn't wake up from some of those dreams. You may, if you're a very unusual individual, be able to control your dreams and lucid dream, and actually, in the middle of your dream, take control and say, right, I'm dreaming now, I'm going to take this adventure in its own way. But it'd be interesting to hear from anyone that does that, because I've not met anyone, but it is a thing. So, dreams obviously then are going to provide a lot of fascination for people, and there is endless speculation about the meaning of dreams. As an exercise, I put into Amazon interpretation of dreams and another meaning of dreams. There are hundreds and hundreds of books out there purporting to tell you what your dreams mean, with titles like Dream Interpretation for Beginners, Dream Journal, Sweet Dreams Lined Notebook, 120 pages. Freaky Dreams, an A to Z of the weirdest and wackiest dreams and what they really mean. Or The Dream Book, a beginner's guide to understanding God's voice while you sleep. And it just goes on and on like that, endlessly, book after book. Don't know how the people who write these books think that they know what the dreams mean, and why they should be the people that can explain it when other people can't. But if you come to the Bible, you'll find the Bible has zero interest in interpreting the ordinary dreams that we have. No interest whatsoever. There are dreams in the Bible that are interpreted, but that's different. We're talking about just the ordinary dreams that we have every night. There is no interest in the Bible in finding any meaning whatsoever in them. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes says this: a dream comes when there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, fear God. That's what he says. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 3 and 7. Jeremiah is even more blunt when he speaks about those who claim to hear from God through their dreams, but in fact, they're just making the dreams up, or they're just making the interpretations up. Jeremiah 23 from verse 25. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name, God says. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what straw to do with grain, declares the Lord, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. So the message there is, don't get fascinated with the meaning of your dreams. Stick with the Word of God. That's the message. You'll come across people in the community and in society who have a great deal of fascination with what their dreams mean. And if you try to make sense of life through your dreams, you'll just end up in confusion. Because basically, our dreams don't really mean all that much. And what they do mean, we probably already know. Like, I have a dream recurrent, not regular, but occasionally, when I'm trying to get to a church service. But for some reason, obstacle after obstacle prevents me from ever getting to take the service. It's not a nightmare, it's just kind of frustrating thing. And I never actually get to actually do what I'm wanting to do. Now, I don't really need a dream clinic to tell me what that means. It probably means something about my sense of calling and that I've got to preach God's word, and I don't want to not be able to do it. I have another dream in which I can do wheelies on my mountain bike. I have practiced wheelies lots over the years, and I can't do them very well at all. But in these dreams, I can wheelie all day. I can even fly on my bike sometimes, which is great. I know what that's about. It's just sort of a wish. But I don't read anything into those kind of dreams. And most of my dreams, like probably yours too, they're chaotic, they're weird, they're random. And if I was to try and find significance in them, I'd just be wasting my time. I often think that Pharaoh, when he had his dreams of the cows, the seven that ate up the seven, and the corn, likewise, that in that story, his wise men were actually very wise indeed, because they said to Pharaoh, "We don't know what your dreams mean." I thought that was a really wise thing to do. That showed their wisdom. Many of today's dream quacks would jump in to find some kind of interpretation, but they were wise enough to say, "We don't know." It says, in the morning, Pharaoh's mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. So they were wise. Sometimes dreams are produced by illness as well. I mean, Job himself here has dreams that are probably produced by fever. So in Job chapter 7, he says, "When I lie down, I think, how long before I get up?" I wonder if you ever experienced that. It's not a nice place to be in. "The night drags on and I toss and turn till dawn. My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and they come to an end without hope." I think I was just studying that and thinking, you know, usually people quote that as though it's about his length of days, but I think he's actually talking about each day. It just seems to go by so quickly and end without hope. It's not going to be any better next day, but, you know, it's not like all his days are swifter. It's just like each day he's coming to go through when he's ill. "When I think my bed will comfort me and my couch will ease my complaint, even then you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions." Sounds like a man who's delirious with a fever. So, is what we're saying this evening, forget your dreams. You know, don't build anything in your life on your dreams. Those visual and auditory and sensory episodes you have that you remember from when you're asleep. Instead, focus on the solid truths of God's word. Is that what we're saying? Well, pretty much. God's word is a solid foundation. And the world and the flesh and the devil will try and move you and me away from God's word, from all that is true, into living without God. And dreams can serve that purpose. The devil deludes many people through their dreams, and people chasing after dreams get into a very confused place in their lives. Jude, in verse 8 of Jude, says, it speaks about those who, on the strength of their dreams, says, "These ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse on celestial beings." So that's on the strength of their dreams. So let's ask at this point, what are you building on in your life tonight? What is the basis of your understanding of the world, of yourself, and of God, and of what you're about in this world? What is it built upon? Is it built upon fantasies? Is it built upon dreams? Is it built upon things that you just try to make sense of out of your own head, or out of your own night's sleep? Because God has provided us in his word, as we said this morning, with a solid foundation. He's built his church not on dreams, but on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. He's built his church on the testimony of those who are with Jesus and who tell us what really happened, the historic stuff, the real words of Jesus, the real miracles, the real truth of his crucifixion and resurrection. That's what we should build our lives on. And we must make sure that that's our foundation. But a little postscript. God does sometimes speak through dreams. And I really want to stress this sometimes. If you go through the Bible, there's stacks of stories. First of all, some of the great figures of the Bible are spoken to by God through dreams. People like Joseph in Genesis, Jeremiah, Daniel, Paul. God speaks to them. Numbers 12 says, "When there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams." So some of the great figures are spoken to in dreams. And you say, well, that's fair enough, but it's not for me, I'm just an ordinary person. But actually, some really ordinary people in the Bible are spoken to in dreams as well. They don't stand out even as people of faith, some of them. People like Abimelech, the king, in Genesis 20. Jacob doesn't really stand out as a great man of faith, but God speaks to him a couple of times in dreams. Laban, in Genesis 31. Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's baker were spoken to in dreams by God. Solomon, not what you would call a godly man, but spoken to in dreams. Joseph, Mary's husband, in Matthew chapter 1. The wise men who came from the east, all spoken to in dreams. And even in the Bible, some unbelievers are spoken to in dreams. Pharaoh, in Genesis 41. The Midianite man, remember Gideon goes down to the Midian camp and here's the Midianite man who's just had a dream about Gideon. Nebuchadnezzar, the book of Daniel a couple of times. Matthew 27, Pilate, Pontius Pilate's wife, has a dream about Jesus. It's not necessary to even say that these dreams all would have come even from God. I suppose Pilate's wife might have had a dream that was demonic in origin, and that's possible as well. However, we live in an age when God has promised to speak through dreams. In the last days, we live in the last days. I mean, the last days in the Bible is the period from the resurrection of Jesus until the second coming of Jesus. God says, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." You and I all know of accounts, even from contemporary people. You've probably read them in books. Maybe you've heard them from friends. Maybe you've had them yourself, of times when God has spoken to people and they're sure that it was God speaking to them through a dream. I've certainly had a number of Christian friends tell me about significant dreams they've had where they believe God spoke. And As Elihu says here, God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds. How would you know if God was speaking to you through a dream? Well, the first thing that Elihu says here is that you would know. You would know it was God. He may speak, and what happens, verse 16? He terrifies them with warnings. He turns them from wrongdoing. He keeps them from pride. He preserves their soul from the pit. He saves their life from perishing by the sword. When God speaks, you're not going to wake up and think, "That was an interesting dream. I wonder, was that from God?" It's not going to be like that. Because as Christians, we're bound to have spiritual dreams. Because hopefully our mind is full of spiritual things. And so it's not surprising if we have dreams that involve spiritual topics. But that doesn't mean they're from God. Not at all. These days, a lot of pressure in Christian circles to perform spiritually and to have experiences. Well, so people will talk up things like their dreams, when often all that's happening is just your sanctified neurons are firing in your head while you're asleep. And you're thinking spiritual things in your dreams. But Elihu says, when God speaks to you in a dream, you really know he's spoken in a dream. There's no question about it. What happens, as Elihu describes, particularly, is the kind of dream here where it has a salutary spiritual effect. The person wakes up, as Elihu says, with the fear of God. In verse 16, God terrifies them with warnings. The person is moved through the dream to spiritual progress, verse 17, to turn a man from wrongdoing and keep him from pride. This is not a dream that's just come out of our heads, it's not a dream that's demonic in origin. This is a dream where God is producing an effect upon a person's life to preserve them, verse 18. So it's a merciful visitation of God to preserve his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So you'll know if you have a dream like that. You may not. You probably won't, but you may. But you may have known people who have. And the thing is, however God speaks to you, and as Elihu says, he may speak now one way, now another, and he may speak in a dream, but however God speaks to you, if you sense that God is speaking and you sense the fear of God coming with his voice, however that voice is heard, don't refuse the voice. I remember, it's many years ago now, but my minister at the time, Kenny MacDonald, Kenny Sammy in Roskeen, told me he'd had a dream. And it concerned a young man in the congregation. Now, I knew that young man at the time. He was quite careless spiritually. And in the dream, Kenny saw this young man on the day of judgment. And Kenny was pleading with the young man to turn to the Lord, but the Lord brought him to judgment. It was too late, and sent him away. And Kenny told me the story of that dream and the impression it put upon him in tears. He told me also that he went to that young man and told him that he'd had that dream. And with more tears, Kenny told me that the young man didn't seem at all moved by what Kenny had told him about the dream. Now, I long ago lost touch with that young man, but I do wonder from time to time if Kenny's faithful words to him ever came back to him and sent him to his knees in prayer for mercy. If God has spoken to you, my friend, at any point in your life, whether through a dream or in any way, and the effect was, as verse 16 says, he terrified you with warnings, but you did nothing about it, then I would urge you, because it was the voice of God, to go back and revisit what God said to you, whether through that dream or by whatever means. As Elihu says, now one way, now another, however he spoke, go back and revisit what was said, because the warning still stands. Hebrews 12 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? How much less will we escape if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? So if God's speaking to you, or if God has spoken to you, and the effect was to terrify you with his warning, the effect was to turn you from wrongdoing, then make sure that what he said, however he said it, whether it was through a dream, or whether it was through a sermon, or whether it was through the words of a friend, whatever, make sure that you take the warning and act upon it. Do not turn away from him who warns you from heaven.